When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's early here.
All right, bring him in. Here we go.
Yep.
And...
we got him. Hello? Steve, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It said that he's talking. Hang on.
All right.
A second.
We'll figure it out.
We got that as a microphone.
Technology.
This guy. Oh, I know what it is. I think I figured it out.
He knows what it is.
Steve, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Hey. Steve Jones, what's happening?
How you doing?
We're doing great, man. Good morning to you. Thank you for getting up so early.
Well, I'm in England, so I've been up all day.
You're in England now?
Yeah.
Now, what time do you get out of bed when you say you've been up all day?
Well, it's 5 o'clock in the evening here.
All right. Okay. That's all day.
Much better.
I'm old, man. I get up at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Why does that happen, right? So, like, you know, my parents, they get older and suddenly they're up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't understand. At what age do you determine, like, I am going to just get out of bed when I wake up?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wake up like 3 times in the middle of the night. And it's just the way it is, and I'm just used to it, you know?
Yeah, it drives you nuts. Drives me nuts getting up every 2 hours to pee. Steve Jones, Sex Pistols, coming to Seattle, Showbox Soto, October the 13th. Steve, were you involved at all in any of that, the Aussie stuff? Were you asked to be a part of that? Or I know you know a ton of the people that were out there.
Yeah, I know Aussie pretty good, too, but no, it seemed like there was way too many people. They didn't need me to...
Did you get the opportunity to actually see the show?
I didn't see all of it. I saw bits of it. I thought Youngblood was good doing Changes. I thought that was pretty good. I didn't see a lot of it, to be honest with you.
That's fair. Neither did we.
No, we had our boss Ryan Castle. He ended up going.
Yeah, he went.
And saw Duff and all those guys.
And Steve, there. I mean, one of the things that kind of blows my mind just about your career, right? We're reading up on you. And did you ever think when you started the Sex Pistols, they would be as iconic as they are? I mean, it was 2025, and you guys are still considered like the godfathers of punk.
Yeah.
The godfathers of death.
Punk.
We'll wait a few years for death. We'll give you that title when you're gone.
Actually, that's a pretty good name. I like that.
And it kind of is pretty
Godfathers
cool.
Godfathers of death?
Death, yeah.
Well, okay. You've been in radio for how many years? 30 years? How long have you been doing Jonesy's Jukebox?
Well, I don't do it anymore. When COVID happened, all that nonsense, it kind of ended. But I was doing it for about 10 years prior to that.
Who was...
Different stations.
Yeah, we know you're on KLOS. We know Marcy. She's hard on the eyes. She's very hard on the eyes. It's really hard to talk to her. I'm telling you what.
That is a good-looking woman.
You don't want to be in her company.
No.
You sure don't. What was one of the harder interviews? Because you're a musician, so it seems to me like it would be easier to be able to talk to people on the level, but an interview can sometimes just be an interview. Did you ever have to deal with anybody where you thought, well, they're kind of cranky?
There was a few cranky ones. But most of them, you know, I'm not interested in the usual questions. I like to talk about regular stuff that ain't showbiz and about selling a record and all that. I just like talking and finding out about someone. But you know, there was always a few who wasn't interested in that and just wanted to promote whatever they were on the radio for.
Sure.
When I was on another station called Indie 103.1, and that started purely organic. They had no ratings, they had no commercials, and that was something that really took off in LA after a bit. It became very a thing, and everyone wanted to come on it because it was like it started being good. Even though the signal wasn't huge, it was a real cool thing, and I loved it. I could do whatever the hell I wanted. I could fart on the air. I could do anything. I could have silence for a minute, and everyone thought that was funny.
Except for you, the program director.
He wanted to kill me.
Is that the station that Matt Penfield is on now? I can't remember where he went.
No, it doesn't exist anymore. That ended in 2008 when the big crash happened.
Yep.
That ended.
And then you went
then
to
I went, KLOS. Then I went to K-Rock for a couple of years, just on a Sunday, playing new songs. And then I went to KLOS. I was there for a few years.
How did you end up doing... Did they come to you to do a radio show, or did you say, man, I want to talk to people?
I was driving around, and I was... moving the dial, and all of a sudden I heard this punk music. I'm like, oh, this is strange. What's this? And I didn't understand radio at the time. And I'm like, oh, they don't even have commercials. They're just playing music all the time. And, you know, because they just started, so they ain't got the hustle going yet with advertisers. And it was great, and I was really excited about it because they was playing all old punk stuff that I knew. And I got a phone call, and someone said, would you be interested in doing something this? And I just said, I want to be a DJ. And it just came out of the blue, and the next thing I know, I'm a DJ on it, an hour a day, 4 days a week. And then it got really popular quickly, and then I ended up getting 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I did that for about 4 or 5 years. It was great. It was so much fun.
Okay, I got to ask you. Now, and you know mainstream rock radio, you worked at KLOS, so you know what typically is being played these days. And since you guys are the godfathers of death, what is your what is your honest opinion of the Green Days of the world, the Offsprings of the world? Obviously, they were greatly influenced by you guys, but what is your interpretation of their interpretation of you, so to speak?
Well, it's, you know, I'm not going to knock these guys. You know, they get a bad rap because people put them under, you know, you get the real punk guys and they're like, they're not punk, they're pop, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they appealed to a younger crowd, even if it might have been kind of copying the original punk. I mean, they're like pop, though. It's very, I mean, I like pop music, so I like Green Day. You know, and we did a gig the other day, and I forget where he was. I'm on the road, obviously, and Billy Joe came out and sang Anarchy with Frank Carter, our new singer. And this is before they went on stage. This is like he let the cat. You know, it was great, and it was just fun. I'm not an old sourpuss. You know, right. I'm not into all that. You know, like a grumpy old man moaning about younger people. It's not my thing.
Well, Steve, did you ever have, like, back in the day, because you're, like, as far as, I know your band, but also you're kind of like an internationally known tough guy. Like, did people ever take a run at you just because you were Steve Jones?
Not a lot, no. No, I wouldn't say I'm a tough guy. I might look like I am, but I'm a p***y, really.
Would you take a run at Ted, who just asked that question, because he's an Arsenal fan? I just want to throw that out there.
Oh.
Well, okay. Okay, now you're crossing the line.
Yeah. What did you, what'd you think about the president taking that trophy? You know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus, God.
I mean, I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was the funniest thing I think I've seen. It was like, it was just hilarious. Especially Cole Palmer, he just had this confused look on his face. I don't know if you know who he is. He's like the guy on Chelsea team now, and I just thought it was hilarious, to be honest with you.
His quote afterwards, he's just like, "Yeah, I know who he is, but why? I don't know why he was there."
Do you know he took the trophy home with him?
No.
Yes, he did. He gave him a replica.
No. Yeah,
yes,
the team has a replica.
Steve, I swear to God.
Trump kept the real trophy.
He took the trophy.
That's crazy.
That's what we said.
Welcome to America.
I know they were playing in America, but that's, you know.
Oh, yeah, he kept it, man. Seriously, so the team got a replica Trump says it's in the Oval Office. He says, yeah, if they ask for it, I'll give it back. And they're like, we don't know what to do.
It's hilarious.
Good times.
So you do the Sex Pistols. You guys become what you are. Did you, quote unquote, know that you were punk rock at the time? Or was it something, was that a genre that was assigned to you guys after the fact?
Well, it was a name that was assigned by someone in the press who said that rock, word punk, and it kind of sticked. I mean, I think we're more like a rock band than a punk band. And obviously it had the twist with the way John sang, and I couldn't play that great. I'd only been playing a year, but the beats were like rock beats. They weren't too crazy fast and stuff. And, but I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, it was a movement, that's for sure. It wasn't just the music. It was a fashion statement. It was a lot of drama, you know, the death of Sid and his Nancy and all that. And the fact we only did one album, I think that's why we still got legs.
Yeah.
You know,
but you guys look at your guys' fashion and what it did, you know, as far as look at how Judas Priest looks
Duff when they're McKagan. On,
look at Generation X, what, how Billy Idol dressed, all these guys.
I mean, yeah.
It was even more of a, you guys like, kind of more like fashion pioneers, the godfathers of, you know, of cotton.
There you go.
Leather.
We got the death. We got cotton.
You got them all. Death and cotton.
Do you still talk to Johnny Rotten? Are you guys on? Are you guys still friends? I mean, I know you're not on tour together, but do you guys still talk it every once in a while?
No, I haven't spoke to him since 2008. We did up 30 shows back then in Europe and Russia and Japan, and that was the last time I spoke to him.
Okay.
I don't think he's too happy with. He wasn't happy with the TV show that was made, that was based on my book, that Danny Boyle did a biopic. And he's tried to stop the music for it because he wasn't happy about, I don't know the reason why. I think it's because I think Danny Boyle didn't pick his book and he picked my book.
Oh. Or maybe it was your performance in Portlandia or your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Sure. Steve Jones, Sex Pistols, Showbox Soto, October the 13th. We'd love to go to the show, man. Can't wait for you guys to get into town.
Yeah, I love that little club. I was there last year with Duff. I got up with Duff.
Oh, nice.
He did his solo career project, and he played there. And I got up and did a couple of songs with him.
Yep. How much more confident are you now on guitar, right? Because one of the things you said, like, look, Sex Pistols started, I'm really learning guitar, but one of my favorite quotes is that your focus was based on Black Beauty. So basically, amphetamines helped you focus on learning guitar. And because we on this show have said for years, get stoned, do something, you're going to do a better job.
Well, I don't know about doing smack or downers. That might not work. But speed, I mean, I'm one of them people, when I was at school, they didn't have the word for it then, that you didn't have any attention span.
Yeah.
What's it called? ADHD or something?
ADHD.
Yeah. I mean, I had that as a kid. I literally couldn't focus at all. But once I did a Black Beauty, I was like cleaning my bathroom for 10 hours.
Yeah. Were you close with Lemmy from Motorhead, both you guys being in LA and you know, almost the same?
I used to buy speed off Lemmy when I was 19.
Okay. So you know him. Did you ever wonder why he didn't take that mole off of his cheek?
You know, whenever I see someone with a mole on their face, I always wonder why they leave it on now. I don't get it. I mean, that must be an easy fix, right?
Sure, you would hope so.
I mean, he had enough money.
Maybe he had his stash in there.
Let's see. Yeah.
that's where the speed came from.
But he
from.
Also was betting enough women, like maybe he just didn't care.
But one thing I liked about Lemmy, they did the movie, what was it? Decline of Western Civilization Part 2. And one of my favorite quotes from him, and this time, man, like Poison was huge. And they asked him about Poison. Like, do you feel bad about all these pretty boys? And he goes, no, I wish I was. And I'm like, that honesty, yeah. Man, I thought that
was great. He was great, man. Lemmy was great. And I'll tell you what, he was a real gentleman. He was a real gentleman, that guy.
And could you really always find him at that one bar and that one stool? I mean, was he serious?
The,
rec-
Always the rainbow on the one-armed bandit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy. All right, Steve. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the tour, and look forward to seeing you here in Seattle.
All right. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, man.
Bye.